Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. Coach, welcome.
Hey, Jerry. Happy to be back.
So, tough loss on Saturday to Brown, and now somewhat of a similar position that the team was in last year, heading into the final five regular season games with the same five teams in the same order. A year ago, went 5-0 in those games. A couple of differences from last year this year that we'll talk about as we go down the path here. But let's start with the game against Brown and what you think happened in that game where it was close and all of a sudden Brown pulled away.
Sure. You know, absolutely disappointing loss, you know, for our team and our program. But tip my hat to Brown. You know, our guys jumped out to a 4-0 lead and then Brown clawed their way back. And at that point, when they did claw their way back and they took a little momentum and they had some good energy, you know, they never looked back and we weren't able to respond. You know, we didn't, you know, as coaches and as players, we didn't do a good job in terms of putting guys in the right spots and being able to capitalize and get back off and running. And even though, you know, it was close, you know, all the way up through, you know, a little fourth quarter span, you know, we weren't playing our best lacrosse. We got to make sure we're back to work and getting on the right path.
When you're watching a game like that, I mean, obviously I know that, and you as a former goalie can relate to this, but when the other team's goalie is making the kind of saves that Goss is making and has done this before against you, are you able to at least, as a goalie, appreciate what he's doing?
That kid's a really impressive kid. He's done a nice job for them in his 3-year career there, and he's got another year under his belt. But
he made 68 saves against Princeton in his career.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, I have no way of looking. I guess I do have a way of looking this up, but my sense is that's a record of some sort.
He's a very, very good goalie. I mean, we need to do a better job of shooting the ball and shooting the scout, putting it to the right spots, and finishing opportunities. And hopefully that game, you know, hopefully in the future that it's a different outcome.
Let's talk a little bit about Chris Brown and the start he's had to his career. And he is the only player in Division I right now who has at least 20 games played, who has at least one goal in every game of his career. We talked a little bit about him last week, but that's a pretty impressive number. And one of seven players in Division I to have played 20 games has at least 1 point in every game of his career, and Sowers is one of the other six. And he also has the record for Princeton players in consecutive games with a goal to start his career since freshman became eligible. And yet he does all this somewhat anonymously because of the giant shadow of Michael Sowers. But what do you think of Chris Brown and what he's done?
Sure. Chris has done a great job for us. You know, he came into our program and, you know, as a big left-handed player and, you know, we were thin on lefties, he got an opportunity very early on and he's never looked back. He is one of, if not the most coachable kids on our team. He does a very good job in terms of taking coaching, asking the right questions, continuing to fine-tune his craft. So we've been really impressed with him. He's got a lot of great lacrosse ahead of him, so hopefully he keeps getting better.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other guys that we haven't really had a chance to talk about and some of the contributions that they've made. One is Jamie Atkinson.
Yeah, Jamie, you know, he started the year a little nicked up with injuries, and then he's kind of found himself in the fold. And, you know, I think when you watch lacrosse a little bit, especially early on and as an injured player, you really find that drive and that chip that's going to make you successful. And he plays the game with a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to do a nice job for us. Very skilled, two-handed player, understands the offensive and defensive system. So he'll keep getting better as well.
And then Alexander Vardaro that we you know, we've talked about a bit before, but he's had a very consistent freshman year, he and Bo Pedersen.
Yeah, both those guys, you know, we're throwing them to the fire. They're doing a nice job. They've found themselves in some of the top spots on our offensive midfield lines, and, you know, they do a little two-way work between the lines, but both those guys keep getting better. You know, as they keep locating their shots a little better, those guys will be more successful on the stat sheet.
And then one guy who's a senior we really haven't talked a lot about, I think, and maybe we have, but I don't remember talking a lot about him, is Charlie Terry, who is – done a lot of things that are positive. He could play long stick midfield. He could play close D. He's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, it's almost like Charlie is the defensive Emmett. You know, Charlie and Emmett Cordry. Those are like our two seniors that are doing a really great job contributing on two different sides of the ball. And both of them are really unique because they can both play any position on defense or any position on offense, and which allows a lot of flexibility as a coaching staff. But you're right, Charlie's done a really nice job down there. He's brought some consistency to the LSM position, and you know he's we're happy with his production.
And I think Armand McGalchy's had a couple of good games in a row, and a little bit of a shakeup in terms of the defense moving Andrew Song down to close D. But I think Andrew Song has played well. George Bond has played well, but I also think Armand has played well.
Sure. We continue to move the pieces around a little bit. You know, we're going to look to get the best matchups, you know, size, speed, IQ, And that if that means shifting guys around and shifting personnel around, I think our guys do a nice job kind of adapting to that. So Armand being one of those guys.
So let's also talk about Emmett Cordray. You brought him up, and I was going to mention him. But at the beginning of the year, what was your sense of what you were going to get from Emmett? I mean, you have to be impressed with what he's done.
Oh, we're really impressed as a coaching staff. I mean, surprised, maybe a little. I mean, just because he's playing with such an extreme confidence right now. But I alluded to it earlier. I mean, Emmett is successful because he can play any position in our offense. And as easy as that statement seems, it's actually very challenging because you have to know the rules and responsibilities and assignments for each position within our offense. And Emmett does, and he knows each and every one of them, and that's why he's great, but that's also why he helps people get in the right spots. And, you know, his poise and just understanding of our systems, and he does it with a very good, relaxed approach. So he's brought a nice, calming influence to our offensive unit.
So he has 20 goals and 13 assists in 9 games, and he leads the team in goals scored. And there's production that you may think to yourself, okay, let's see if we can get a good year out of Emmett Cordray, and you might have defined that over a 14-game season as let's see if we can get 12 to 15 goals and maybe a few assists. I mean, he has 33 points, 20 goals. I mean, he's been extraordinary.
He's been extraordinary, is right. Again, very opportunistic, and when he's had his opportunities, he capitalized. I mean, he started getting into a role – you know, subbing in for an injured Phil Robertson and really took advantage of that and locked down the first few games as a behind-the-cage attackman and playing a little off-ball role. And then he's moved into a, you know, dodging role against a short stick to now a dodging role above the cage against a long pole. So very, just very impressed with the young man.
So, your team is 0-3 in the league, not where you want to be. Similar to where you were last year, and what people don't realize about last year is Princeton finished third in the Ivy League last year, 3-3. Just lost the tiebreakers as it related to the Ivy League tournament. This year, if you can repeat what you did last year, and of course that's a big if because now you got to go out and beat Dartmouth, Harvard, and Cornell, which won't be easy. But if you do that and you get to 3-3, there's very few scenarios where you would not be in the Ivy League tournament. So your team still has a lot to play for, and they have the extra carrot of the immediacy of the problem in terms of being in the Ivy League and having those 3 games. But you can't do anything about that for a few days because this week it's at Stony Brook and then home against Siena. It's a chance to step out of the league. It's a chance to go out on Long Island. We have a lot of Long Island guys. And it's a chance to compete without the immediacy of how it's going to impact the league against a Stony Brook team that has turned the corner a bit, starting to have a good year, and has a big win over St. John's from Tuesday night. Their goalie had a very big game, 18 saves in that game. What do you know about Stony Brook?
They're a heck of a team. I mean, Coach Nagel does a great job preparing his program year in and year out. I think we got the best of them last year, but in my time here, it's been an absolute battle. One goal games back and forth. And early in my career here as an assistant, you know, they got the best of us a few times. So we anticipate a great game. And this gives us the opportunity to kind of recalibrate, fine tune our systems, and get ready for Ivy play in a week or so.
And that's what happened last year. You were in this 0-3 situation in the league, and then you had the games against Stony Brook and Siena, and I think it sparked your team, and it was a good turnaround for you guys. What about going out onto Long Island and playing, a lot of guys on your team are Long Island.
It's great. I mean, for guys to be able to get home and play in their home area, it just gives an opportunity for you to get extended family out there and really support them. And, it's as we play midweek games and as we play away games, it's difficult for families to travel. So for our Long Island guys, I think they'll be thrilled to get back there. It's a 7 o'clock game under the lights, so it'll have some extra energy added to it, which it's a great place to play.
And the weather's supposed to be decent.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah. So and then it's Tuesday night. Siena comes here to play. What about that game? It makes it appealing. And, Princeton went up there last year. I don't remember if it was a day trip or if you went overnight, but either way, it was to head up to the Albany area midweek game. Now they're going to come down here. What do you hope to get out of that game?
Sure. Again, it's progress for us. It's continuing to get better. And again, fine tune our systems and get ready to make a run at the Ivy play.
And then after that, it's a trip to Dartmouth, home game against Harvard, and then the trip to Cornell, which is a doubleheader with the women up there. Are you able to sort of take a step back knowing that there's really nothing that you can do about the Ivy League race for another 2 weekends, or is that just never leaves you?
Probably not. It never really leaves me. I mean, again, our goal has always been to get in the Ivy League tournament, win the Ivy League, and then have an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. So for us, it's continue to fine-tune, continue to get better, and get ready to put our product on the field come Ivy play.
How do you get your team to buy into that, understanding that you know, you win out and you probably achieve all your goals.
I'm sure our guys are really bright guys and they're aware and they understand the landscape of Division I lacrosse, but they also understand that as a coaching staff, we've asked them to take it one day at a time, you know, and just work their tails off and keep getting better. So that way when game day does arise, you know, we're ready for the opportunity.
So that game is a 7 o'clock start out on Long Island, Princeton versus Stony Brook. And again, the Stony Brook series sort of stemmed from the fact that both teams are off in the league in the same weekend, correct?
Correct, yep.
And it's a good, you know, it's always a good team, and it's always, it's close enough. It's not a bad opponent to randomly find yourself matched up with.
No, it's a great opponent. They've done great in their conference in the past years. You know, they've won it a handful of times, and I know Albany went on a little bit of a tear. But it's up in the air in terms of the American East, and we always want to play in terms of out-of-conference teams. You know, we want to play teams that are going to win or finish first or second in their conference because it is the predicting of the RPI a little bit. So Stony Brook's always been great.
And I love their stadium. It's a great place to play.
It really is. Yeah, we're excited to get out there.
So it's 7 o'clock face-off on Long Island. Stony Brook, it's kind of a far ride, but it's worth the trip out there. And then Tuesday, I don't even know. What time's the game Tuesday? 6?
I think 6 o'clock, correct.
6 o'clock, Siena. We'll be on Sherrod Field. We'll be back next week to talk about those two games, then to look ahead at the stretch drive in the Ivy League, which is Dartmouth, Harvard, and Cornell. So still a lot of lacrosse in front of Princeton, still a lot of opportunity to get where they want to be. The tiebreakers this year would probably fall differently than they did last year if Princeton got to 3-3. So there's still a lot out there for the Tigers to play for. And we will talk about that next week and in the weeks ahead. But Coach Madelon, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.
So for Princeton head coach Matt Madelon, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here each week on the Princeton LaxCast. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.